You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the only pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single bite-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4-point-something Michael O'Neill and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the 4.0 to Pro podcast. I'm Michael O'Neill here in sunny Long Beach, California. I'm joined by one Scott Fliegelman right now, actually, at the Denver International Airport. Nice enough to take a few moments as he's on his way to the NPL Dallas event, the first Senior Pro Tour event of the season. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hello, Michael. Yeah, not the best podcast studio I've ever been in, but excited to share today's show.
Well, first and foremost, dude, congratulations on the grand opening of Boulder Pickleball, which happened yesterday. And you had a packed house. You had the music jamming. You must feel good after working so hard for a few months now.
Yeah, the calendar keeps on turning and good stuff keeps happening. It's been a lot of work, like 2.5, 3 months of 14, 15 hour days together with my wife, Carrie, and, you know, 2 years of focus on it. And yesterday was a really cool culmination. We opened for memberships yesterday. We had our grand opening. Everything is going really well. And then off I go to Dallas this weekend. Not the best timing,
right?
But fired up to join my Denver Iconics teammates and win this first NPL event.
I love it, baby. I love it. Hey, by the way, guys, high five to all of you. We've surpassed the 30,000 downloads mark for the show, which is super exciting for myself and Scott. And on today's show, we are going to talk about something that I think there's a lot of confusion around in the pickleball space. And as you work your way up the ranks, I can tell you definitively that very often at the later parts of tournaments that I've been in, I face a lot of lefties. Lefties have a pretty good advantage, I think, in pickleball because us righty folks don't face them all the time, but they face righties all the time. And consequently, we end up facing stacking, and or we are on a team with a lefty and we need to stack, and or we're playing mixed doubles and we need to stack. There's a lot of reasons why we might need to stack. And so today's show is about kind of unveiling the mystery of the stack. And we're going to get right into it. So, Scott, what is it and when should we do it? Like, how do we stack?
Well, stacking, I mean, most of our 4.0 to Pro listeners should have a pretty good feel for what it is. And by the end of this show, should be doing it more frequently, if not already frequent. But the rules of the game specify which server, you know, needs to be serving the ball and from where. And the returner has to be designated as the returner and from where. But the other players on the court can stand wherever the heck they want. And we want to take advantage of that by perhaps putting our player who prefers to be on the left side there and the other player on the right. And we're in control of that. We don't necessarily have to stand where we're pre-assigned.
Well, and it makes sense for a left-handed player that we want the left to be on the right side, so his forehand is in the middle. Assuming you've got a lefty and a righty, you've got two forehands in the middle, which is, I would say, an advantageous element to the game. When else would you do it? What would be another occasion where you might have a stack?
Well, the lefty situation is by far the most common, and all our lefties out there are already quite familiar with it and have had to captain the stacking effort for their team. Another very popular time for stacking is mixed, and we see that at the higher levels, including 4.0 to Pro. It's not necessarily the gender that defines it. It's the bigger, strong, powerful player most of the time prefers to be on the left with their big forehand clogging the middle. And that kind of defines their role. And then that right-sided player has less aggressive responsibilities, more defensive, more solid dinking. And then we start to define some roles, which at the higher levels of play, we're really starting to see left side specialized players and right side specialized players. And they need to use stacking in order to make that happen.
So in my upcoming tournament, I'm debuting at my first Senior Pro tournament, and my partner, Ulysses, has a killer backhand flick and backhand counter. Like, he's just got a really good, solid backhand. So we have definitely been experimenting with me playing left side because I have a very strong forehand drive, very accurate because I play some singles. Combining those two, we may end up stacking in this upcoming tournament. We have been experimenting with it. It's one of those things we've talked about before, which is you have to kind of subtract your ego from it. And everyone thinks they've got, you know, the greatest drive and the greatest this and that. It's like, well, this is a game of percentages. So if your partner has a better one way or the other, maybe an amazing two-hander, maybe you're playing with Annalee Waters and she has this vicious two-handed backhand, you might want her on the right-hand side. So that two-hander's in the middle. And it's just one of those things that you have to consider before you start playing.
And let's not discount the value of that strong backhand playing the left side. We know that our opponents are looking to dink in that direction. That's a really common place to go. And they get that ball up just a little bit. And it's really nice to have a player with a big, you know, aggressive backhand. Some of those non-conventional backhands that don't come from tennis.
Yeah.
I like having that player there on the left side. They can do a lot of damage with that shot from that spot as well.
Well, one thing I think that you mentioned a couple of shows ago, when you were on the court with Anna Bright, she had a totally different concept of the stack, which was she was like looking for matchups. She was following somebody around. Can you go into detail at all about that?
Sure. I mean, you mentioned egos earlier, and I don't think it really, you know, once we get to a certain level of play, we're just looking to win, and it doesn't matter too much where we play. But the announcers, when we were on center court, credited me for checking my ego and playing the right side. But Anna and I had pre-match discussions about who we were playing against. And frequently, she felt like she had an advantage when she was directly across from, you know, the woman on, you know, the team we were playing against. And she wanted to be right in front of them so that if she instigated, if she started, you know, a firefight, she knew she could finish that job. So we weren't all that concerned with lefty, righty, big forehand, big backhand. It was more head-to-head matchups. And I feel like that's a really important part of deciding whether or not you're going to be stacking. And let's leave some of that lefty or, you know, mixed stuff in the rearview mirror and focus a little bit more on the matchups.
It's funny you say that. Last night I was playing some rec play and I had said to my teammate, we're kind of banging too much. I want to get to the net with these guys because I think I'm better at the net than these guys. So let's get there because Smart. I think we can win those. And we did. Like that was a strategy that worked for us. So again, it's just one of those things that I think some of the nuance that you start noticing during gameplay, when you say, man, there's a bit of a weakness here. Can we somehow modify where we're playing or how we're playing to take advantage of this at the moment? There's a lot of funky stacking options. For me, when I got to interview Ben Newell about his Ben Johns victory, I learned about some stuff, and we're going to talk about some different options here, but the full stack is the one that we most commonly know. So that's the one where let's say the lefty is playing on the right side, the righty is on the left side. If they get a point, let's say, then the lefty would be playing on the left side, but the righty would also be to his left or her left. And once they serve, you both shift back to your spots. And so that would be like a full stack. You do that on each side of the serve. And then the return can be a little bit tricky where you still want to end up in those spots, but you may have to flip and go back and forth. And we'll sort of talking about stacking strategy in a minute, but those are the most common. But there's like a half stack as well, Scott, right?
There is. Let me go back to before the match even starts to try to simplify this for, you know, our listeners. We want our listeners to be a stacking team. At Florida Pro, there should be, you know, no more, we're not stackers. So before you take the court, it should have been decided which player is going to play the left or which player is going to play the right. And we need to line up there before the match starts. So let's remember that when our score is even, we don't need to worry about stacking. We're standing in our preferred locations. It's only when the score is odd that we need to concern ourselves with, do we want to make a positioning adjustment here? So that kind of overview to begin with, I think helps people who are a little intimidated by getting caught in the wrong positions.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Are you suggesting that we should be stacking most of the time at this point? Like that there should, you should start specializing left or right depending on the matchups you have?
All I'm suggesting right now is that when the score is even, we don't have to worry about stacking. We only have to think about it when the score is odd because we've started off the game in our preferred positions.
Okay, right. Got it. That makes sense. Okay. So a half stack would be what?
A half stack is when you decide when our score is odd and we're serving that we're going to align ourselves in our preferred position. So that if I've decided, you know, I've started the match off on the left side and our score is odd, I may have to play that coin on the right, but no, I can go ahead and line up directly to the left of my partner and slide over after the serve. So half stack is stacking only on the serving side and not worrying about it when returning.
And then when you're returning, you're in your normal positions. Is that what you mean by that? You're just where you would be. Like, so if you would be sort of unstacked, if you would. Am I confusing myself?
Well, when we're returning, if our score is even, we're in our preferred positions. We don't have to worry about stacking. If we're returning and we're in an odd position, we can either choose to adjust our position with some hand signals or stay where we are and play the point unstacked.
Got it. Okay. Understood. And then you wrote actually a three-quarter stack, which I'd have never heard of before, which is when one person feels comfortable going to their stack position, but maybe the other one doesn't. Maybe they have some mobility issues or something like that. So when you can... So,
yeah, on return of serve, some teams feel uncomfortable with the stacking because it requires a very specialized return location and some airtime to allow for running to the opposite side of the kitchen.
Right.
And some players lack the mobility, you know, speed or confidence to do that. So maybe one of those players is quick and feels good. And that's when you decide to adjust your positioning when that player is returning. But the less mobile player may say, let's not do any stacking or position adjustments when I'm returning. I'm not fleet enough.
Can you describe what you told me about the I formation, which I'd never really heard before? I thought it was a really interesting idea. A lot of times when you're playing, somebody on your team will get picked on in terms of the return. Maybe their returns aren't that strong. So the other team is really returning to that person the whole time. Can you talk about what the I formation does to help with that?
Yeah, I like to throw a little double secret advice out for, you know, every show. And this one comes from a frequent mixed partner of mine, Kim Jade. She and I love to keep our opponents guessing as to which one of us is going to play on the left and which one is on the right. And she's, you know, very strong on the left. So we can mix it up. We like to do something called the I formation. So let's say Kim is serving. Instead of me just going right to the left, for example, I may stand directly behind her and give our opponents no clue as to where we're actually going to play this point from. And then they kind of have to guess. We wait. We're good at this. We'll wait until after they hit the return or just before they hit the return to go to our designated spots. And we'll have a little chat beforehand. Frequently, we'll get a short return or a missed return, or it'll go to the one of us that we're hoping they return to. And then we can execute perhaps a shake and bake strategy from there.
I love that. That's so sneaky, dude. That is so very sneaky. And Scott, what about pre-stack strategy?
I'm not even sure that's the official name for it or if it even has one, but that's what Ben and Colin Johns do when they're the returning team. Everybody knows that Ben's going to play the left and Colin's going to play the right, so they don't even bother giving signals pretending that they're going to play the rally in the opposite positions. So if Colin is returning from the left or the odd court, Ben just stands out to the left of the sideline and takes two steps in and Colin runs over to the other side. So there's no mystery to it. Right. And it's actually a little less anxiety. I've done it with Ryler DeHart recently, who's a lefty, and they kind of knew where we were going to play the rally. So we didn't bother with or anything. We just took two steps into our position.
I mean, that sort of gets us into this next phase, which is the strategy of stacking. And what typically happens is as the returner, your partner who's closer to the net will be giving you some sort of signal. And the signals are, as far as I know, they are, I'm going to switch. So I'm going to switch to my position we've agreed on ahead of time. I'm going to stay where I am. So the switch is typically an open hand. The stay is, I've seen it like as a fist. And then I'm going to fake going over. And you would fake it because sometimes the opposing team is shooting for that gap. Like they're trying to aim to where nobody is at the moment. So you might fake that, and then, of course, one of you guys is still in where you're supposed to be. And that is signaled by a sort of open-close fist. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. It seems to me that even if I'm on a new court with some new players, that anything that's not an open hand or a fist, any movement is they're asking me, they're demonstrating there will be a fake. Mm. I don't have to give my partners a fake signal. If I have a closed fist, it means I'm not going anywhere, but trust me, dude, I'm going to be doing some movement.
Got it.
Up here. I want to use the threat of a stack, the threat of a position change to cause some concern on the other side. So I'll always be moving, whether I go all the way or come back, will be predetermined with our signal.
Got it. Would that fall into like faking? Or do you consider that a different kind of a different mode to this?
No, I think that falls into faking. I just rarely give a faking signal. If I give a closed signal, right, Assume that's good, there's going to be a fake.
You'll just fake it. So the other thing I alluded to is when I'm returning, let's say I'm on the right-hand side and my lefty partner's on the left-hand side and we plan to switch. Well, what happens when that ball is a great return? It's deep into the corner and maybe I'm off the court and I go, man, there's no way I'm going to get to where I'm supposed to be in enough time. I'm going to say, abort this. I can't get back in there in time. And then, I guess where I've always been a little confused is, do we still try to unwind or do we play the point out the way we're stacked at that moment, or rather unstacked as
well? First of all, credit to the serving team for recognizing that your goal is to book it to the other side and hitting a deep, wide serve to make that more challenging for you.
Yeah.
So that's what you want to do. But what I prefer to do is I leave that up to the returner. If I'm the player at the net, I might be thinking that they should abort by saying stay, but I'm not going to make that call for them. They're the ones with the perspective. They know their skills. They know their ability to put some air under their return. And they know their speed. So I'm going to leave that up to the returner. And when I'm the returner, I don't want the net player calling me off. I want to make that decision for myself.
Okay. That makes sense. One thing I noticed when I interviewed Ben Newell, they've famously beat Ben Johns and or Colin Johns and his brother, second round of the Newport Beach PPA tournament. And they did that by doing something I had really never heard before. So they were a lefty and a righty, and Ben Newell is a lefty. And so you typically imagine he'd be on the right-hand side, and then his partner, was it Phil? Is that his name? I can't forget his name off the top of my head. But
yes,
he was on the left, and that's how they would serve. But when they would return, they would actually reverse stack. And they would do that because Ben and Colin love the slow game. They really are into the dinking short game. They're so good at it, so patient, that Ben and Phil wanted their forehands on the outside of the court versus on the inside, which is where they would normally have it. So they did that because they knew that they were going to get dinked to death. And so they thought, let's get our forehands on the outside instead. And I thought, what a really cool, pro level strategy that is.
Yeah. And it falls back into that stacking does not have to be only for lefty or mixed reason.
Right.
I mentioned matchups before. This was a tactical decision and obviously it worked out great. So credit
yeah,
to that.
It did indeed. So now you and I are playing and we're facing a stacking team. We got a righty and a lefty. You're on the left. I'll be on the right. And we've got to face a stacking team. We've mentioned this in the last little section there, which is if we're returning serve, a really great place to put a serve is deep and wide. Like we're trying to keep that player from making their way back to where their preferred position is. So besides the deep and wide return, where else do you like to put that return, Scott?
I like deep and down the middle. It causes a little bit of confusion. It's also just generally a safe return. We don't have to worry about missing left or right. So high, deep, and down the middle.
So I really like the part where you get to create chaos as the serving team, because when they return, they're sort of running all over the place. And there are often gaps that you can hit. Again, this is sort of depends on where the serve was, but if you can get a spot in there and you hit it where they ain't, as we like to say back in the day, I think that's kind of a good spot facing a stacking team.
I mentioned on the show before, one of my favorite things to do as the serving team against a lefty on the other side, whether they're stacking or not, is the third shot lobbed. because of that chaos that you mentioned.
Yeah.
If they've got an unstacked lefty with forehands on the outside, that's a wonderful time to lob down the middle. We're going to get a backhand overhead. And that's frequently all we need to advance to the non-volley zone
right. As
the servers. And even if they are moving to forehands in the middle, they're on the move. Both their forehands are there. There's definitely some confusion as to which one of them should take that overhead. And again, just that little bit of confusion is all we need as the servers to advance to the NBC.
I love that. So, Scott, you've got to jump on your flight right now. Thank you for spending this time for us. Folks, if you've learned a little bit about stacking, write us on Instagram, 4.0 to pro__. And if you're looking for a carbon paddle, it's a CRBN paddle, it is 402p.com/CRBN. And that will get you 10% off of your next carbon paddle. Thank you to Oso Pickleball. Thank you to Spin Shot. Thank you to Mr. Scott Fliegelman. Dude, good luck this weekend. And we'll talk to you guys
thanks,
next.
Michael.
Yep, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.